Hi, everybody. It's Jim Beekhuyzen, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. I've been reading a lot about the great war on talent. If you go to my LinkedIn page, I've talked about how to retain talent, rethinking the whole compensation model. How do we pay people? And do we distinguish sufficiently between people that are mediocre, people that are outstanding, and people that we just have to kind of keep the lights running and everything else? And I think that we're at a period of time, and I mentioned this on my LinkedIn, I think we're at a period of time of the shift of power, probably as meaningful a shift as when unions first came in, where corporations owned everything in those days, and they underpaid workers and benefits and all kinds of things. And that was a pretty tumultuous period of time. But we're back in that period of time where talent really, really does make a difference. Organizations are growing, they're becoming more efficient. And it's not just the general 45,000 people that are in your company, but it is, do you really know who the most talented people are in your company? If you ask yourself the question, what's the list of people that under no circumstances can I afford to lose them? Not that they're irreplaceable, but there'll be time and money to do that. You know, I've watched organizations for over the years and their whole succession planning, and which I'd love someone to do a study on succession planning and see what the percentage of success there was of the people that they picked in the succession planning who actually got to the next level. Because historically, most succession planning loosely based around whose ass is my lips attached to. And there was a bump theory. We've got to become more disciplined about looking at our talent. We've got to become more disciplined about how we compensate that talent. How do we compensate them in a way that encourages them to stay a long period of time, right? Not just cash, 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 more cash, but is there stock? Is there some stock that has a reserve on it? You can't get it till you leave, whatever it is. And I was talking to one of my clients the other day, and he was remarking, he said, I remember 3 years ago, you really beat on me to lock down this one person. And at first I was like, well, you know, I don't want to start doing that. For one, do I have to do it for others? I said, no, you don't have to do it for others. This person at this moment is invaluable to you. And without this person, you can go on. You're not going to accomplish in the same period of time what you wanted to. And he did it. And he locked him down 3 years ago. And they just had the biggest year they've ever had in their history. And 80% of that came as a result of what this person put forward and this person did. So we need to start separating people, not good or bad, you know, bad employee, good employee. It's just value. Why does LeBron James get what he gets? Because he's worth it. And that hasn't sort of trickled back because everyone thinks of employees, oh, you're in that job, you're in a sales job, you're in this job, or you're in this job, you're in this job. But the reality is we need to start differentiating. We need to start differentiating people at different levels, their talent. What is their real potential for those people, right? Not just, well, let's move them around a little bit here, a little bit. What's the real potential? And as I as an organization, am I doing everything possible? Am I creating an incentive system that makes them do better? Am I creating a path that I can own them long-term and a path that they will be rewarded for going above and beyond? Because I think most organizations have a middle of the road, kind of a plug and play, kind of know what you're going to make a little bit next year. And it's great for the middle pack, but it's terrible for the people at the top. It's terrible for those people that want to do the extra. It's terrible for the people that want to perform. And what's really terrible for those people is when you set out a whole bunch of hurdles for them to get over and you don't reward them for it. We should be filling those people with opportunity. We should really be riding them right into success. And yet, it can't be a corporate thing. I think it's almost a personal thing that people sort of resent those kinds of, and I'm not talking about narcissists, bad people, but they're like, geez, I don't want to make too big a deal about this. No, no, you should make a big deal about that person. You should celebrate them. You should use them as a role model, as long as they're a good person, as long as they're not jumping over top of everyone. But if they're performing, pay them. Figure out a way to pay them more, not less. Figure out a way that you can attract their compensation to their performance more closely. I used to say to people all the time years ago, and one of the things that I remember reading was, in order to have successful and happy employees, you have to have four things. People need to understand what is required of them in their job description. People need to understand how their job description is related to their compensation and how they can get paid more or less in those roles. Third, very often overlooked, when people look around the room and they say, I work with really great people. It influences you. It excites you to work with people that want to be successful, success measured in many ways, but it's good for you. And then the last thing, which I've always tried to follow throughout my entire life, managing people, was to let people know that it was my job, if I was managing them, to look out for their best interest. It was my job to help them make more money by doing a better job. And if you can accomplish those four things, man, you've got a motivated workforce. You've got people that'll go to the nth degree. But I think we need a pause. We need to think about this. We need to throw away the old compensation systems, throw away the old promotion systems, throw away the succession planning systems, and really ask ourselves the question, who are those people that are invaluable? Replaceable, but I'd rather not. Secondly, who are the people that I don't want them to leave, but if they did, no big deal. I could probably find somebody else. And the last group, you should be culling the herd every year, 10, 20% of those people, and not just culling the herd just to get rid of them, but it's bad for the other groups to see the other people getting paid that aren't working, that aren't contributing, right? And then the second thing you need to throw the book out on is succession planning. When I was running Wood Gundy, CIBC Wood Gundy, you know, we used to have this people meeting at the end of the year, and everybody that ran a division would come in and they would say, name me people that work for you now that you'd like to have more of. So I'd like more Katie's. I'd like more Bill's. If I could find more of them, we could do better and we could perform better. And then the second list, which was find me people that you don't want more of. And what was interesting was when you asked the question about that second list and you said, okay, so what's the plan to replace them? Silence. I sort of take silence in that being less active in that managing human capital as a sign of laziness. Or, oh God, I've known Mary or Bill for 30 years. You know, this is difficult. But if you want to build an organization, you want to build a high performance culture, you want to build something that is exciting and people are excited to be there and they know when they do more that they're going to be rewarded for it. You have to throw out the book on talent management that you've used for the last 40 years. And you really got to throw it out because now people aren't in the office. People aren't in the office to make friends. And, oh, you know, Katie, she's lovely. She's great. You know, how many times have I heard when I say to someone, well, tell me about Katie. She's fantastic. I want people to be able to articulate. When someone says, Jim Baikyai, what is it about Jim Baikyai that makes him valuable to you? I want them to be able to articulate. Jim is the truth seeker. Jim makes me better. I want people to be able to articulate that. And so think about it. If you'd want, I'm happy to come in and help your company do it. Think about really who is the company just hanging on with? Who are those people? And then the other thing is you'd actually be surprised if you create that list, how few of those people you probably have. I can tell you, in my work with lots of different organizations, everybody's trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. They have more of those than they do, you know, Katie's fabulous. Like, I just need to give her more resources. And every year she keeps doubling her performance. And every year she keeps doubling her performance versus 80% of the conversations I have with people is, oh, I don't know why Katie doesn't get it. You know, she just doesn't get it. And it's pounding over and over and over. Wake up. You're the one that doesn't get it. She's not going to change. And it's not good or bad, right or wrong. She's not what you need. No matter how much you wish for that peg to be square, it's not going to happen. And so let's start really focusing our attention on the quality of the people that we have in our organization and differentiating them, compensating them, incenting them to move up or move out. There's nothing in the middle. Because there's nothing worse. For some people it is. I guess they like going in and on the assembly lines, putting the four lug nuts into the same tire wheel and everything else. Great job. Perfect. That's good for you. But they're not the ones that are leaving. They're not the ones that you are at risk of. Because they're happy to collect the salary and the bonus and whatever it is and just kind of lock it in. You know, this is my range. This is kind of what I do. But we need to focus on talent. So my question for you, Mr. or Mrs. CEO, Mr. or Mrs. CFO, Mr. or Mrs. Sales Manager, make your list. Who do you want more of and who do you want less of? And what are you going to do about it? And the last thing is, am I dealing with my best talent in the best way to incent them to do more and stay longer with me? If you like the podcast, do me a favor. There are a lot of people that it can help. Share it with them. Not because I'm the be all and end all, but I do believe, you know, my mission in life is to help people get better, help people find themselves. So do me a favor and just take that extra second, share the podcast. If you like it, share the idea if you like it. And if you're so inclined, go to your local podcast and give me a review or 5 stars or 4 stars. If it's 3 or 2 or 1, don't bother. But help me in my mission to help people. The only way I can do that, you know, for me is to show up every week to tell you things that I think can help you with your life, both personally and professionally. But I need your help to help spread the word as widely as possible. I'm always honored and flattered when somebody says to me, I listened to your podcast or I read your book, and it really made a difference in my life. How much more can you ask in life than people telling you that you made a difference to them? Worth more than money, worth more than anything else. So help Katie and I out. Spread the good word. Give us a review. Slap on the stars. And let's get this thing as broadly as possible and help as many people as we can. Thanks, everyone. Be you, the world will adjust.